Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley, this is CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hey, Barracuda fans, welcome to another edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. In this episode, we're joined by another new member of the Barracuda. Lucas Van Robois spent four seasons at Bentley University before playing his fifth and final year at UMass this past season. He played in five games of the Barracuda at the end of the year, scoring his first professional goal. This summer, he signed a one-year AHL contract to return to Team Teal. Without further ado, here's our conversation with Barracuda forward Lucas Van Robois. Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We're very pleased to be joined by Barracuda forward Lucas Van Robois. It's been a couple of months since we saw you at the end of the season. How's your summer treating you?
No, it's going great. Like I said, back home up in Townsville, Ontario. So just seeing some friends and family and keeping up with skates and workouts and all that good stuff.
How has your summer changed this year being a pro now as opposed to when you were in college? Has anything changed from a training standpoint or preparation?
Yeah. I mean, you know, back at school, they kind of bring you in like quite early, right? Your season doesn't start until, what is it, early October as in college. So you've got like a pretty good road or runway to you know, get back into conditioning and shape and all that stuff. But here, especially with development camp in a couple of weeks, or actually next week, you kind of got to, you know, hit the ground running. So you start things a little bit earlier.
Had you ever done a development camp prior to the one that you're about to take on with the Sharks?
Yeah, no, first one. Maybe a little bit old for that, but better late than never.
Hey, there's lots of guys that are around your age, mid-20s, that'll come in. And it's an opportunity to get in front of some of the coaching staff, work on different things aside from just playing the game. There's some off-ice stuff, and there's some nitty-gritty on-ice work as well. What are you most looking forward to the 3 or 4 day event?
Yeah, I'm just excited for the experience in general. Like you said, you know, getting to work with some of the skills coaches on like more of a personal level, and then just kind of the experience, you know, meeting all the younger drafted guys, you know, younger prospects, and just getting a feel for and getting to know, you know, what in theory is the next generation of, you know, Sharks and Barracuda hockey, you know.
So last year you played at UMass as a graduate student, and we've had a lot of guys over the last couple of years do that because of COVID. You were given that extra year of eligibility. So I got to ask, last year you went to UMass, you played 4 years at Bentley, you're the big man on campus, and now you're back to being almost like a freshman again. What was that transition like, going to a different campus, having different teammates, throwing on a different sweater, all that goes into changing schools?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you change schools for sure, but you still bring that, like, you know, that veteran experience. You've played four full years of, you know, a college season. So you definitely have to get used to all like the, you know, the differences of the school, the location, the differences in culture, the standards within different programs. But it is definitely a lot easier than, you know, throwing it back to freshman year, where everything's new. You still can rely on that experience of your last 4 years. And I think a lot of the younger kids too, like the actual freshmen at UMass, they look up to us fifth years and grad transfers and even the seniors, because we've done it before. We've been through the season. We know how to do the training camps, all of that good stuff.
How did that opportunity pop up for you? You played at Bentley, as we noted, for 4 years, not that far from UMass's campus. I was looking it up, same state. Mm-hmm. So there was some comfort level in terms of your surroundings, but how'd that opportunity pop up for you?
Yeah, it was just, you know, the whole, I guess, overall how it works is, you know, after you're done school, some people do it their junior year, but, you know, if you need to mix things up, you can go into this thing called the transfer portal. And that's basically like college free agency. And so after I graduated from Bentley, did my 4 years there, I decided to test that out, like you said, with that extra COVID year. And it's really just like you would think free agency would go. You get a couple phone calls, you talk to a couple organizations, a couple schools, and you just feel it out. You get to know a couple of them and try to in what you think is the best fit and try and go with that opportunity. And I definitely made a great decision at UMass.
How do you feel like this past year really helped you develop, not just as a player, but as a person, being that leader, being a guy that these young players look up to? How did you grow over the last year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously going into a team as like the older guy with those that experience, like you're automatically put onto this pedestal, right? Where all the younger kids kind of look up to you. And actually at UMass, they brought all of the new guys in a week early. So that included the freshmen and the three, four grad transfers that we had. So there was quite a big gap there. And all of us being new, we were all getting used to the same things. But the grad transfers having the experience, was there was like this direct, you know, hierarchy in a way where you were kind of forced into a leadership role for that first week. And that just kind of got the ball rolling for the rest of the season.
UMass has built an outstanding program guided by head coach Greg Carvell, who I spoke to a couple of years ago. Seems like a really good guy, obviously intense, but he's built an outstanding program. And you think about some of the alumni, Cale Bakar, of course, is the big name, but even Mario Ferraro, who plays for the Sharks, amongst others who have come through that program and succeeded at the next level. What was it like playing under Greg? And then also, what was it like to be in a program that has been competing for national championships, is producing NHL quality players? What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was super cool. I'll touch on Carvey first, but you know, just a world-class guy. How it's like playing for him is like, you know, you got a job to do. He's very, very diligent with the standards and the expectations and super transparent, which is one of the reasons why I chose to go there. You know, right away in the whole recruitment process, like he's going to tell you what is expected. You know, what your role on teams is going to be. So you kind of know what you need to do and there's no ambiguity around that. So when it comes to game time, when it comes to practice, like, you know exactly what you have to do to, you know, to help the team to win. And like you said, you know, work towards a national championship. He's super demanding of his players, but which is good because it forces the best out of everybody. So, yeah. And then what was the second part again? Second.
Just being in a program like that, who is producing NHL talented players, probably has some really nice facilities, is competing in a big time conference. What was that like as well?
Yeah, it's great because you walk into the room and like the standards already set, right? Like national tournament as the bare minimum is the standard. You got to play in March. You got to play in March. And then, you know, we do have great facilities to go with that. So we get treated really well. But that kind of goes hand in hand with your production on the ice, right? Like, you're going to get treated super well with the training room, your locker room, all of that stuff. But if you don't perform on the ice, then that all goes away. And you kind of tip your hat to the guys before you that did that, maybe without such a nice locker room and all the other resources. So it's kind of a respect thing too. You kind of honor the guys that did it before you and pave the path for you to have that luxury.
We saw you right at the end of the year with the Barracuda. You played five games. You had your first goal. You scored your first goal at the pro level. I'm sure that was a thrill for you. But as I look back at your career, you're a guy, an honest player. You're going to do all the right things. You're going to be in the right spot. And I'm sure that's one of the big reasons why Greg and UMass wanted to bring you in. But you're a guy who, you're not going to fill the stat sheet per se, but you found a niche. It's a niche that winning teams need. You're an honest guy. Again, you're going to win faceoffs. You're going to do the right things. So as a player, everybody wants to score goals. Everybody wants to be on the power play. But how have you, over your career, kind of seen where you can be successful, your skill set, what you can do to be in the lineup on a nightly basis? When did that come in your mind that this is the player I've got to be and this is how I'm going to be successful?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say I found it, but maybe it found me. Being, you know, backing up quite a few years now, I was a little bit of a late bloomer, you know, coming out of high school and around that era or that time. So I was undersized, maybe not as strong or as fast as some guys. So I definitely had to, you know, find other areas of the game I could still be, you know, contributing towards my team's wins. You know, like you said, just using your head a little bit more than maybe your body or your feet was one of the ways I was able to do that. Develop a little bit more of like a hockey IQ, a positioning, a couple other intangibles. And then also, you know, of course, everyone eventually grows and grows through their growth spurts. So then I was able to add that element to the game to, you know, a little bit stronger of a stride, a little bit better board battles, all of that stuff. So I would say the situation I was in, I had to adapt to play that game. And then from there, it's just you live and evolve for the next level.
We were talking a little bit off air before you went to the BCHL. You're from Ontario, so you're going all the way to the West Coast. But before that, you came to the States and you played at what was basically like a boarding school of sorts to get you ready for the next level. So you had already come to the US before going back to the West Coast of Canada and the BCHL. So this journey, your hockey journey, started a long time ago. But when did it start to get on your radar that one, you could play pretty high level junior hockey, potentially play college hockey? And you mentioned maybe you were a late bloomer. So when did you start to fill out, start to physically mature to be able to compete with your peers and have an opportunity to play at the level, at the next level? When did that all kind of start to mature for you, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, obviously growing up in Ontario, your older cousins playing for the London Knights and the Erie Otters, like, You want to play in the OHL, I guess, as a young guy. Every Canadian kid wants to play in their CHL league. But, you know, I got drafted to the Hamilton Bulldogs second last round. I don't even know what pick it was. It was really late. I went to their camp all fired up, and I was just like, you really open your eyes to, like, unfortunately, you're just not there yet, right? You're 5'5", you're 150 pounds, playing against guys that are, you know, getting drafted to the NHL. All of that good stuff. So that was kind of the first eye-opening experience where I was like, ah, shoot, this might not be within reach at the given moment. So that's kind of what pushed my focus down south of the border into the States, looking at an NCAA opportunity. So that's what drug me to South Kent and played at the prep school there with Selects Academy. Had a great, great time there, learned a ton. Great playing opportunities, all of that good stuff. And then after high school, went over to the BCHL, like you said. In that grade 12, BCHL year, that was where I really started to grow, hit a growth spurt, filled out, and then was able to kind of really identify where I could potentially land.
We see it all the time, especially in hockey, because there's such a commitment in terms of just time, travel, all those things. So guys go away a lot to play junior hockey, but you went all the way basically to the other side of the country. So that's a adjustment in itself. What was that like to know where you wanted to play eventually? That was NCAA hockey in the US, knowing that there was going to be a sacrifice moving a far ways from home. What was that like just for a young kid? You're a teenager and you're that far away from home. You're probably three different time zones away from your parents. What was that like for you in that adjustment being so far away from home?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a big adjustment, you know, literally and physically on the map. It was great though. It's a beautiful part of the country. I wanted to go back to Canada, and to do that, the BCHL is one of the elite junior leagues that still, you know, allow you to go back to the NCAA. So that was kind of the league I had my sights set on. But it was, you know, I've been away from home already for a couple years at South Kent. So I got in that like homesickness feeling kind of gone. It doesn't fully go away, but at least minimized it. And then my parents obviously just made a lot of sacrifice and were able to come out and visit quite frequently, to, you know, to at least make that transition a little bit easier and just like hang out with the guys a lot, you know, on your teams. They're your best friends. They're your brothers for that year. And it really makes all of that nervousness and anxiety a little bit easier to handle.
So when did the opportunity with Bentley come up? When did they offer you? When did this chance occur for you in your career? Were there other teams, other schools that were kind of on your radar as well?
Yeah, there were a couple other teams. And the timeline was like, it was my second year out in the BCHL, and I was on the Prince George Spruce Kings, and we made a run for it. We were deep in the playoffs. We played till May. We actually played in the last game, so the National Junior A Championships, lost a close one 3-2, but so we played all the way to the very end, through that whole process, you know, you're getting some conversations, and Bentley was kind of leading the charge with that. And our coach kind of was pretty dialed in on the playoff run, and he wouldn't let me leave and tour any of these schools. So right after the season, it was like end of May. School starts again in September. Most of the kids have been accepted and everything. So as soon as our season ended, I did a big loop with my mom. We drove around to like four or five different schools, and like most of them were in the Northeast. And then on that car ride home, I just decided to go to Bentley. They seemed to be the most aggressive. Obviously the greatest playing time was there right away. And I didn't necessarily want to go back for a third year of juniors, and they were willing to take me right then and there, like 2 months later.
What was the feeling when you had made that decision, having those opportunities too? You probably knew something was going to happen, but just that feeling of there's a box checked, there's a goal accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's, everyone talks about getting a scholarship, and especially the American born players, like that's their thing. I mean, just being able to say like you've accomplished that is super, super significant. It's just a proud moment. Not only for me, but also my parents as well, because it's a pretty cool accomplishment for them as well. It's a milestone.
So you grew up in Ontario, but you're only about an hour and a half away from Detroit. And you mentioned to be off air as well. That's where you usually fly out of. It's a little bit easier. Toronto's actually quite a bit farther from you, but you're from Thamesville, Ontario. What was life like growing up in Thamesville? It's obviously a hockey market, probably just part of the culture. It was natural for you to play hockey, but what was it like growing up in Thamesville?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a hockey market, but here specifically in Thamesville and Chatham Kent, it's more of like a farm agriculture industry. Like I grew up on a farm. I'm here right now, cash crops to be specific, so corn and soybeans. So that's like what everyone does. And then obviously, you know, you fill your winters with hockey, whether you're watching it, you're playing it, not even in a rink half the time. It's sometimes on a pond or if the river freezes or whatnot. So that's kind of what it's like here in a nutshell. And, you know, there's a lot of good hockey players that come out of here just because you live and breathe it for most of the year. And it's kind of embedded into culture.
Did you guys have a frozen rink at your house in your backyard?
We had a frozen pond actually in one of our fields. It's just like a little bush. And there's a, I don't even know, maybe a 30 feet by 30 feet, just circle, and it'd freeze all the time. It was super fun. And I think there's a couple nets actually that are still buried back there.
That's amazing. So yeah. Your sister played too. You have a younger sister. Did you guys just grow up basically living on that pond, playing
yeah,
all the time?
I mean, in the winter after school, I actually live next to my cousins too, who they're good hockey players. They both play in the OHL, and my cousin Dane is still playing in Germany actually. So we would always, mainly us three, would go back there as guys, and Audrey would join us every once in a while. And she was a good player herself too.
So you mentioned that you grew up on a farm. That was the industry, the big industry, at least in your hometown. Was that the living that your parents had growing up? Were they both farmers? Is that how you guys basically made ends meet?
Yeah. Well, my dad's, it's a family farm. He's third generation. So that's what he does. And my mom is not as much into that stuff. So she does a pharmaceutical sales. So she chose a completely different direction and opposites attract, I guess.
Your dad, Steve, your mom, Gina, when I watched you play, I mean, it was five games, but I saw a little bit of a blue collar type mentality to your game, your approach, your attitude every time you spilled over the boards. Do you feel like that's transitioned into your game growing up on a farm, knowing what it's like to work hard?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. It's probably the biggest variable in my game that people can see right away. And it's just like the persistence, like the never give up, just put your head down and just work for 60, sometimes 65. And even if you're kind of backs up against the wall, you don't ever go down easy. And that's kind of a way I like to play the game too. And you never make it easy for your opponent either. And that's kind of how you kind of just get grown up doing that kind of stuff here.
So you grew up an hour and a half outside of Detroit. Who was your NHL team? And there's so many teams. I was looking at the map. I mean, you're 3 hours, I would say, from Buffalo. You're about 3 hours from Toronto, hour and a half from Detroit. You can cross Lake Erie and you're in Ohio. And there's obviously Pennsylvania and the Penn. Mm-hmm. So who is the team you grew up watching?
I grew up, you know, Toronto is the team here. Yeah. Most of the, you know, families here are just Toronto. They bleed blue. I went to more Red Wings games growing up. Just obviously cheaper tickets, closer. And I've also been to a couple of Sabres games. They're just a couple hours up north. So I've been to a lot. There's a lot of close teams, but we bleed blue here.
So who was the guy that you idolized growing up as a kid?
It was, you know, I don't know if I idolized him a lot, but my dad definitely did. And it was a little bit before my time, but it was like Wendell Clark. His jerseys are in our basement. He, you know, his highlights have been played and you hear his name all the time in our family. So he's kind of the, I guess, a guy I'd kind of model my game after in a way, maybe a little bit too old school, but, you know, I guess more modern school. I just love watching John Tavares too. He's a great player at center ice dot. He's arguably the best in the league. And he's just a great leader too. He's been around for so long. And he just keeps getting the job done.
You were first on your team last year in faceoff percentage, one of the best in Hockey East. You mentioned John Tavares being good on the dots. What, in your mind, is the key to being good at taking faceoffs?
I think a lot of it is understanding that it is, to some degree, luck. And you have to just steal the smallest advantages to try and get that extra 2-3%. And a lot of it is it comes down to grit. It's like you're against this other, it's a one-on-one in a small, almost a 1 foot by 1 foot, obviously, circle. So it's like, who wants it more? So if you really just bear down, obviously there is some technique into it. And I've had some great coaches and mentors in that area that have helped me. But at the end of the day, it's just who wants it more, and you're not going to win all of them.
We're talking to Barracuda forward Lucas Van Roboys. Last year, five games with the Cuda, you scored the goal. What was that experience like for you, just to get that sample size? And how do you feel like it'll help you going into your first year?
Yeah, it was huge. It was super, you know, a significant advantage, just being able to get some exposure at the end of last year, because now you can train all summer, you can plan. You have a little bit less anxiety about, like, you know, your nervousness about your first camp, your first games, whatever it is. So, you know, being able to plan and kind of have those expectations already experienced really was a huge advantage. And I'm, you know, super excited to capitalize on it.
Going into next year, we'll see you at Dev Camp. As you mentioned, you'll be at CUDA Training Camp. What is your mindset going to be as you go into camp and you try to make this team? What are you trying to accomplish during that span?
Yeah, just know yourself as a player and just be the best at that, you know, niche or whatever it may be. So don't be anyone you're not, because then you just don't play as well as you can, and just play your game to the best of your ability. Give it all you can give. Don't leave any stone unturned. And, you know, good things usually happen when that's the case. And obviously go in there with some confidence, because that's really important too. You definitely don't want to be a shy or a nervous player, because that comes out, right? You can see right through that. And that's why getting those last month experience with the CUDA was great.
Was it nice to meet some of the teammates that you'll probably have this year as well? Does that help just going into the locker room, having that comfort?
No, a ton. You know, hockey, we always use nicknames. So just knowing the nicknames and being able to fling those around the room from day one is huge.
What's your nickname in the locker room?
I get Vanny or Van Roe. You get two, you pick. Yeah,
I figured so. I got to ask you, you got a little bit of a longer last name. My last name is Nolenberger. So I remember as a kid, I had a rainbow almost nameplate on my jersey. I don't know if your name is that long to have that, but did you ever have a moment in your career when you were still maybe a little kid in mites and the jersey's tiny and you're trying to fit your last name? You ever have that where they kind of had it rainbow it for you?
I've never had it rainbow. I think there's been a few times the font's been shrunk, but majorly it's spelled wrong. There's either a D mixed in there, or there's a space between the van and a capital R. It, you know, it, you know, you can't get it perfect all the time.
That's one of the first things. There's a couple of things when we sign new players, we bring new guys in. I look at the last name and I think, okay, that's going to be easy or not. Once I heard your name, it was easy. But when you first look at it, it's a little bit intimidating.
Yeah.
And then how is their language? Do they speak English? Do they not speak English? So when I first saw your last name, it was a little daunting. And then you hear it heard, and it's fine. It's nothing.
Right.
But
it's kind of just how it's spelled.
Totally.
But you don't know that right until you hear it.
Right, of course. Where does your last name come from? Do you know?
Yeah, it's Dutch origin. Specifically from Belgium. My great great grandma's from there.
So going into this summer and going into this development camp, training camp, you mentioned that you're training a little bit. What's your schedule look like? How many times a week are you skating? Are you skating right now? What are some things you're trying to accomplish this summer going into camp?
Yeah, no, I go into the gym, you know, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. My focus off ice this year is some explosiveness. So doing a lot of jumping or like a little bit of a lighter weight, but with more explosive and higher intention on each rep, just to try and get a little bit more jump out of turns, you know, from dead stops to full speed acceleration. That's kind of the focus in the gym. And then obviously just keeping your core strong, because you can't really be strong in the corners or on your feet. It all starts from the core. So that's the off ice focus. And then on ice, it's 3 days a week up. I actually drive up to London, which is about 50 minutes to an hour away, 3 days a week for a couple skates there. So it's good. There's a good crew of pro players that hang out more in the city.
Speaking of pro, do you look forward to the pro schedule as opposed to what you've dealt with the last 5 years? You play less games, which I'm sure is nice, but you also have to deal with going to class, trying to balance being a student and being a student athlete. Now you're just a pro hockey player. You practice basically every day. You play games a lot more often. The travel may be a little bit more rigorous, but are you looking forward to just shifting to being 100% a hockey player, focusing on your trade?
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. You know, school was great, but once you do 5 years of college, it's like, all right, I think I've learned enough here. But, you know, it was super fun, and I'm just ready to experience, like you said, the pro schedule. And I'm not necessarily a fancy practice player, so I'm excited to play more games because at the end of the day, those are the most fun.
So you went to school for 5 years. I want to ask, what do you major in at Bentley? And then I believe you got some sort of business certificate during your one season at UMass. But what do you major in at Bentley? Where do you see yourself going post-hockey career? Hopefully you have a long career. You don't need to think about it. But what have you thought about post-hockey career on something you want to pursue?
Yeah, at Bentley, I took finance economics. It was like a dual major thing. I got a minor in marketing as well. And then at UMass, like you said, it's a certificate in business analytics. So a little bit more data backed there. But, you know, and I can also roll that into a master's if I want over the next couple of years. After hockey, that's a great question. I'm definitely more of an entrepreneurial guy, being stuck at a desk and doing the same thing over and over again is probably not something I'm going to be too happy doing. So not exactly too sure, but I love the game of hockey, and it's something I 100% will want to stay in for whether I'm playing or not for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Always impressed by players like yourself who go to school. And then on top of that, you're not taking a major like I took. I was a journalism major. Then I did sociology as my minor. So it wasn't the most rigorous and academically challenging thing. You played hockey and you take courses like that in your majoring. I just find it very impressive. But just talking to you, you can tell that you're an intelligent guy, the way you play the game, the way you think the game as well. But Lucas, we appreciate the time, man. It was fun to meet you last year for a little bit. Mm-hmm. We'll see you at development camp. Look forward to seeing you perform during training camp. Try to put your best foot forward to make the team as well. But looking forward to seeing you. And we thank you again for the time.
Yeah, no, thank you, Nick. And I'm super excited for what's to come this year.
A big thank you to Barracuda forward Lucas Van Roboys for joining us on this edition of CUDA Confidential. For the entire Barracuda organization, I'm Nick Nolenberger saying thanks for listening, and so long until next time.